All right, so today is going to be kind of like a where have we been? Today's going to be like looking at a map, a little bit like looking at a map. It's going to be a lot more like a regular sermon. We've had a couple weeks of like just different vibe, different feel, communal practices of prayer and reflection and looking to Jesus together, practicing the presence of God together. We're in the middle of this series called What Does It Mean to Be a Christian? And as I was just kind of going back to where we started with this, I was even a little bit surprised that we started this back in April, basically right after Easter. And part of me was like, man, I feel like I really haven't even talked about a lot of different things, but the things that we've been going through, I've been trying to really, like, to really go into them and really unravel certain things. I feel like a lot of things we just do at just, like, lightning pace, and it's like we cover some kind of topic in a sermon, and it's like, we covered it, you know? But things like really getting into the gospel and the depth of it, this idea of the kingdom of God and what it means to respond to that. What is grace, right? And what does it mean to respond to the grace of God, right? These are things that we just have this kind of general surface level understanding out in the ether about these things, prayer, the presence of God, hearing the voice of God, our new life in Christ. What does it mean to like live out a new life in Christ? These are things that really need to be kind of teased out and unraveled. These are threads that we need to just kind of keep on pulling. And there's just more that just kind of keeps coming and keeps coming. And so, like I said at the very beginning, I didn't have an end date for this series. It's just going to kind of keep going and going until, I don't know, we just kind of keep going through things. So today is going to be a little bit of a recap. We're going to look back and just kind of skip through and jump through some of the things that we've been talking about all the way going back to April. It's also been the summertime, so a lot of people have been kind of in and out, or maybe you just connected with us in the last few weeks, or who knows what. So this is just kind of like, where have we come from with this? What have we been talking about? If there's anything that you're like, oh man, I think I really should maybe hear more of the detail on that. Almost all of these sermons are online on the website, citylightmass.com. You can go back and catch them if you need to or want to. But I'm also at the end just going to kind of give a little bit of a preview of some of the other topics that are coming up and things, the direction that we're going with this. And we're just going to keep exploring all of the things. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in a passage in Colossians this morning to kind of wrap this up. But what does it mean to be a Christian? At the very beginning of the series, I put up this short-ish answer. There's so many different ways we could answer this question, and even this isn't the only way, of course, but I tried to get at really the heart of this. And you don't have to memorize this, but being a Christian means I am following Jesus. I trust him with every aspect of my life. Every aspect of my life. This is not just I pray a prayer so that my sins are forgiven and I go to heaven when I die. This is entrusting every fiber of my being, every aspect of my life, my hopes, my dreams, my deepest desires, all of me and everything outside of me. I trust Jesus. And I'm learning to obey everything he instructs me to do. Jesus is Lord. He is King. He is God. He deserves and demands our allegiance and our obedience. We don't like to use those kinds of words like obey, obey Jesus, right? That sounds so oppressive, right? But this is what it means to be a Christian, so that's what we got to talk about. The ultimate purpose and goal of my life is to be like him. We are made in God's image, and we are made to reflect him. And sin is when we just go our own way and we choose not to reflect Jesus. And we choose to say, I'm going to be my own person, right? I'm going to do this my way instead of his way. Every aspect of my life is lived in grateful, loving response to his love for me. And now we could read a statement like that and be a Christian and be like, man, I don't always live up to that even, right? And that's part of the significance of God's grace. That's part of the beauty of his love and his faithfulness and all of those things. But the idea of what it means to be a Christian is that even though I know and I understand that every moment of my life is not lived in complete alignment with this idea, with this statement, or these ways of being, when I read a statement like this, my heart says, yes, that is what I want. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to trust him with every aspect of my life. And I notice and I'm growing in and learning to be more aware of the moments when I don't, right? This is a process. I know that the ultimate purpose and goal of my life is to be like him. And there are times where I get distracted. There are times when my heart wanders. There are times where I attach my significance to other things and I experience the letdown of those things. And I remember that Jesus really is the only source of meaning and significance and purpose in my life. And that is my North Star, that no matter how far I keep wandering, I keep going back to Jesus. Every aspect of my life is lived in grateful, loving response to his love for me. Is it? I forget this. I forget his love. I forget his grace. But in repentance, I turn back to that awareness, that acknowledgement, and that living in his presence, attentively present with Jesus. And this is what I keep coming back to, what it means to be a Christian. And so then we talked about the gospel. What is the gospel? And it's always tricky, which order to go with these things. And so this is the order we went. But we put up this statement of the gospel. And again, so many different ways, even as you read through scripture, and this is what we did. We went through all of the New Testament and we looked at so many passages that describe and display and proclaim the gospel in different ways to different people in different times and different moments. And it comes out with different flavors and different situations depending on the needs and the moments and the people, where they were at in any given situation. But we saw how there's a very consistent refrain, especially the way that Jesus himself proclaimed the gospel, as a gospel of his kingdom. The good news that Jesus was coming to reestablish his reign as king over his kingdom, over his people, and ultimately over all of creation. Jesus is the rightful king over all creation, and he is on the move. He has come to restore all of creation to the way that it's supposed to be, to make everything sad untrue. He's taking ground. But the first phase of his plan is not to secure a physical domain. That's what God's people, that's what the Jewish, the nation of Israel, that's what they were wanting, that's what they were expecting. They were expecting a king to come and conquer and reestablish a physical land, a physical kingdom, right? But Jesus' primary first objective with his first arrival was not actually to do that. It was to win the hearts of men. It was to establish a spiritual kingdom where his reign begins and works itself out from the inside out. And it's not actually bound to a single geographical region. This goes with the people wherever they go. And they become ambassadors and representatives of that kingdom everywhere they are present. The kingdom of God is present because he is reigning in and through them, through us. And where Jesus reigns, there is life, there's restoration, there's wholeness, there's justice, there's beauty, light, and love. All of these ideas are encompassed in this idea of shalom. Jesus came to find and take everything that is broken and bring it back to the way that it's supposed to be. And as ambassadors of that kingdom, that's our mission. That's our identity. That's who we're called to be. That's what we're called to be about, looking for broken things and saying, I can't do everything. We can't fix everything, but this is our DNA, right? To be a people, a kind of people who are part of just being, finding the rips and tears in the fabric of things around us and being the ones who see that and just take our needle and thread, and we're the ones just stitching those patches in the tapestry of our world and our culture and our environment the best we know how, with whatever resources are entrusted to us, doing what we can, where we can, when we can, how we can, even if that's just lighting a candle, right? Being a simple light in a simple moment, in a single room, will look different ways in different times and different places. Those who yield to King Jesus receive all of the spiritual benefits of the kingdom right now while we wait for him to finish what he started. We talked about there's this already not yet tension in the gospel itself, in this message. Those who yield to Jesus and say yes to his reign, yes to his kingdom, acknowledging our rebellion and saying, yes, I'm yielding to you as you're my king. I accept what you did on my behalf. I'm falling under your lordship, your leadership. We receive all of the spiritual benefits of that kingdom life right now. And is it still perfect yet? No. But we get to step into and experience and walk in communion with him in his presence. And that's been a big theme that we've talked about. We're made new. We're given new life. We get to experience a qualitative element with our life in Christ every single moment. And again, we forget, we get distracted. All of those things are true. But what we have access to in Christ is a whole new world of existence, a whole new way of being that is available to us, that we learn and grow in an ongoing way all throughout our life. But we do it knowing with this hope and this confidence that everything that we do matters because it's working towards the ultimate work that Jesus is yet to do. He's coming again to restore and finish everything that he started. And so we look forward to that. That's good news. Like, that is really good news. And so we put up this slide. This is kind of like a visual. Again, no visual is perfect, but just kind of like a little visual picture that takes all and many, most of all of those ideas and kind of puts them into a little package here. The gospel is that the kingdom of God is here right now, and we get to be a part of it. Jesus is king. Sin and rebellion are forgiven in him. Death is abolished. We are reconciled with God. We experience resurrection because of Jesus' death and blood, burial, and being raised to new life. When we place our faith in Christ, his new life becomes our new life. Not just our sins forgiven so we can go to heaven when we die, but like we just sang in that song, your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment. That's what that means, right? Not just for the future, not just so I can go to heaven when I die, for every single moment. That is the gospel. We are made a new creation. We experience satisfaction that we cannot get anywhere else. Jesus, we read about him being living water, the bread of life. And we get to step into a life of apprenticeship, discipleship under Jesus. We're going to keep talking more about that. That's something that's coming up in the weeks, months ahead. We talked about it quite a bit last year. Formation, our formation ongoing, more and more becoming more and more like Jesus personally. Community, how we are part of the family of God, the people of God. Mission, how we live out that identity as his ambassadors and agents in this world. Ambassadors of that kingdom, citizens of that kingdom. Learning to live like Jesus and embody his presence in that shalom in every dimension, things that are broken being made whole. All of this is the good news that Jesus came to deliver, that Jesus himself preached. The good news of the kingdom of heaven is here. And now, so what does it mean to be a Christian? This was the next conclusion on this, is being a Christian, following Jesus requires a complete reorientation of my life around that gospel, around who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he proclaimed, what he taught, and the way of being that he calls us to. This is not just, I pray a prayer so my sins are forgiven, so I go to heaven when I die. All of that is part of the gospel. But it's not just that. And you're like, why do you keep saying that? Because I'll just tell you, I grew up in church my whole life, and that was for a long, 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 long time until I was probably in my 20s. The only gospel I ever heard was Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead so you can be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven when you die. And it's like, that is really great. But what about right now? Like, what about today? What difference does this make in my life in any way right now? Well, you go to heaven when you die. Like, I got that part, right? Like, okay, I get it. Like, that's great. Like, what do I do? Well, you don't do anything. You can't earn anything. Well, yeah, I get that. But, like, what does it mean to, like, well, if you say you have to do anything, then you're adding works to salvation. It's like, well, but didn't Jesus, like, doesn't the New Testament tell us to do stuff? Well, yeah, but it's, you can't, like, tell anybody they have to do anything. Well, what? It just doesn't make any sense the way we try to, like, so it just drives me crazy. So that's why I'm, like, really trying to, like, drive this home. It's everything, all of life, every moment. It's about entering into a whole new way of life, a way of being in the world like Jesus, living in his presence and living out of his presence, communion with him, fellowship with him, right now. We looked at this quote from our good friend. We've looked at a lot of quotes from Dallas Willard, but this one, again, a little bit of a long quote, but this is one that I feel like really hits. Willard asks, he says, someone will say, can I not be saved without all of this, right? Can I just have my sins forgiven and go to heaven when I die, right? You know, that just like kind of almost like elementary understanding of just that's all it is, right? Can I just believe a few things about Jesus and just go on with my life and just know that I'm good? Willard says, perhaps you can. God's goodness is so great, I'm sure that he'll let you in if he can find any basis at all to do so. But you might wish to think about what your life amounts to before you die, what kind of person you're becoming, and about whether you really would be comfortable for eternity in the presence of one whose company you've not found especially desirable for the few hours and days of your earthly existence. And he is, after all, one who says to you now, he says to you today, follow me. So many walking around like with an identity of a Christian, but there's just no like life behind it. And we all have seasons, we all have days and weeks, moments of that are like wilderness, feels like darkness. That happens actually to everybody, right? but those should be seasons, right? Those should be relatively short-lived. And that's something we're going to talk about as well. That might be a whole nother series after this. But anyway, so I don't want to get into that too much. But this is it. It's all of life. Some other topics that we've covered. We've talked about receiving and responding to God's grace. And I would almost say, if you missed any of that, if there's anything, I don't know, to like go back and just catch and listen to, there's two sermons about like explaining what is grace. Like, what did grace mean to people in the first century? And it's something that also, again, I never heard anybody explain in my entire life growing up in church. Nobody ever did that. We have a lot of assumptions and pre-understanding of things we've heard people say over and over and over again about grace, because what often happens is somebody with a platform says something very confidently and it sticks and it hits the mainstream, and then it just becomes the normal thing and the normal understanding that everybody says. This is just how information travels through the ether. And we have a lot of cute definitions of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. That's what grace means. People will say things like that. It's like, I get it. That's really cute. But like, don't give me more. Give me something more substantial than that. Well, grace is God doing what we don't deserve. That's cool. Like, that's true. But there is so much more to it than that. So I'm not going to re-preach that sermon, those two sermons, but I highly recommend it. Walking in newness of life, we talked about justification, regeneration, and how both are like two sides of a coin. Okay? Again, not going to go all the way back through that again. And now, where are we going from here? Very next thing. We're going to talk more. We're going to go into that next side. Or actually, did I put that triangle up there now? Okay, yeah. So regeneration, walking in this new life. We really used this as a kind of template for talking through this. Jesus is King is at the center of this life. Other things we can put in the center of there, things that we attach our hearts to, we could call that heart idolatry. We could call that disordered affection, disordered heart attachment, right? Disorder being I'm putting something in place above Jesus' rightful place in my heart, in my life. And when I do that, everything else kind of goes haywire. Maybe not right away, but it does. Sometimes it happens really slowly. But this new life looks like a new kind of perspective on every aspect of my life that leads me to a faithful acceptance of everyday trials, faithful acceptance of the ebbs and flows of life. I'm not living, again, this idea of kingdom. Sometimes we take this idea of kingdom and Jesus is King, and you have some culture that comes out of that that becomes this like kind of conquest, conquistador mindset to Christianity, right? Or crusades, or like anything like that, where it's like, we're going to conquer everybody. We're going to take ground. And a lot of times that's in the church planting world, right? That's oftentimes the kind of culture that you see in new churches, or like advancing churches, or like we're going to win a region, right? We're going to like expand and multiply and like all of these things. And not all of it is bad and wrong, but it can get really weird really fast, where it's just like everything is about, it's basically taking, right, like American, Western, colonial mentality and just saying, we're going to just take over everywhere and win the culture for Jesus and have a Jesus culture, you know, everywhere. It's like, I love Jesus, right? I want Jesus as many places as possible, but following Jesus also means a lot of things don't happen fast. And a lot of just the normal, everyday ebb and flow of life keeps happening. And we learn to navigate just day-to-day life, just normal life. We learn to navigate it differently and better with a different new perspective. Part of that new perspective and our ability to do that comes from the new power that we have through the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, that we get to live in the presence of God and experience his empowerment in any given moment. We get to experience and hear and respond to the voice of God leading us, moving us, prompting us. And we take on new practices, spiritual practices, ways of being, ways of behaving, all of it, that are part of how we train ourselves. These are things that we do that are within our power, that over time, slowly, we become stronger. We become more and more the person and the people that God is forming us in to be. This is about training, not trying. And so that's going to be a theme that we lean into over the next probably month or so, is just taking another good look at spiritual disciplines, our discipleship and apprenticeship to Jesus, and with a little bit more focus on, is the next slide the one with the columns, Peter? Formation, community, mission. Yeah, we looked at this quite a bit last week, but really, we've spent a lot of time talking about the personal formation, personal formative aspects of that, because that obviously kind of naturally, it's like, and by design, like, we got to start there. We got to get some of these foundational first things settled, because if we are not being and learning to be deeply formed ourselves and learning to practice the presence of God, learning to be attentive to and responsive to his voice, then kind of everything else we could do from there has a very high likelihood of being highly misguided or to just, again, things can get really weird if you try to really go hard on the other areas without focusing on the first, okay? And there's always, this is always a spiral. It's not like you ignore any or all of the things, but we've placed much more emphasis on the first, on the formation, the personal formation. Talked a lot about community, and that's always somewhat of a natural area that's kind of like a default in a lot of ways. In church, in anything that a church does, we did a whole one another series on that. But we're gonna talk more about that as well, more in the months ahead. But we're really gonna have some more focused attention on this mission column and the spiritual practices and disciplines related to living out my identity as an ambassador of the kingdom of God in the place where God has me and where God has us as a people, as his people, in a particular place, at a particular time, and how we embody these things, these practices of service, hospitality, stewardship. And stewardship, especially not just being a financial thing, stewardship is like an all of life thing where I view everything that has been entrusted to me as something to steward in light of who I am in Christ, something to utilize in the work of mission and ministry. That includes my vocation, that includes my work, that includes the thing that, whatever it is that I believe God has, man, called me and entrusted me to do. This includes even family, how I steward life and family and how I engage in the work of raising and discipling and shepherding my kids. Stewardship is a big category, so we're going to break that up into a lot of different ways. But witness, how I proclaim the goodness and mercy and love of God. And again, we talked a little bit about that with grace. The more we understand grace, really helps us to have a really beautiful understanding and idea of what that can look like, the idea of how we just proclaim the goodness and grace of God. what we've experienced and what we've received from him and just our gratitude. How we engage in the work of justice. We're actually going to spend a good amount of time on that. And what scripture says about how the people of God are called to care and to act on behalf of the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the sojourner, the people on the margins. It's just everywhere, from Old Testament, from the nation of Israel, to the church in the New Testament. So we're going to talk extensively about that and spend a lot of time and a lot of scripture on that and really ask some questions of like, okay, how is God calling us to lean into some of these areas tangibly, specifically, in addition to or in complement to ways that we already are? Civic engagement. Did you know there is a preliminary election? There's a ballot. Like on Tuesday, there's a vote. Do you know who your candidates are for state Congress? There's two contested candidates. Have you like looked into who those people are? What do they stand for? What are they going to vote for? How, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, which of these candidates? And sometimes this is a tough call to make, right? But this changes how I think about politics. I'm never going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you how we should be thinking about and aware of these things as God's people and be involved. So we're going to be talking about all of these things more and more. And then in addition to that, some of the other things coming up are these few things. All of this is involved in what does it mean to be a Christian? This is going to be an interesting one. Healing from past hurts and family dysfunction. This is not going to be like a group therapy session, okay? I'm going to be very careful to like not do what this is not intended to do, right, in this time. But we have to talk about this because, and this is, I'll just say this, this is about putting off the old, putting on the new. This is a principle we see in the Old Testament repeatedly. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And part of that process is acknowledging and identifying all of us have situations and circumstances and things that we've experienced all of our life. And all of us have ways that as we experience things in our life, we developed ways of coping or responding to or dealing with stuff. And a lot of that is relational stuff. A lot of it is circumstantial stuff. How we respond to events, how we respond to people, how we respond to a comment, how we respond to somebody else's response to things. And this plays into every aspect of our lives as God's people. Those responses become automatic. And if we're not aware of them, if we don't acknowledge them and identify them, it is almost impossible to grow from them and through them and to really put on something else. So it is a really, really, really important topic. And this affects not just church. This is, hey, guess what? This affects your marriage. When your spouse just like does that thing and it just bothers you so badly, when they do or don't do that certain thing, why you keep having like that same argument and it just like keeps happening and you don't know why there are certain kinds of people at work that just infuriate you to no end, why you just have such a hard time connecting with certain people. It affects everything. We're going to talk about church membership. Just like, what does it mean to like be a part of like a local body of believers, right? We're going to talk about that. I haven't talked about that in a while. And I put quotes in because like, I put quotes around membership and discipleship because there are a lot of definitions and ideas out there on both of these topics. And so we're just going to kind of explore all of that and say, like, as best I know how, as best we know how, just we got to talk about these things. But what do we see in Scripture, right? What is just most in alignment with the gospel? And lean into that the best we know how. Connecting faith and work, our vocation, is related to all of that. So all of these things is all coming up. And as I've just been thinking about these things, and I just, you know, I read the Bible a lot. Okay, so you're like, man, Kevin, are you even going to, like, talk about the Bible today? And this, what kind of sermon is this? Like, you didn't even, gosh. But this passage came to mind as I was just kind of stewing on all of this, even myself, and just thinking back and thinking ahead. So I'm going to read through. This is kind of lengthy, and I'm not going to preach it, but I'm just going to read it. And whether you read it on the screen or you just close your eyes and listen, or if you have a Bible in front of you, I thought of this passage, and then I went and I read it, and I was like, man, Paul, like, you just kind of summarized everything that is, like, it's all kind of here. So Colossians 1, this is verse 9 through 23. Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard this, since the day we heard about your faith and just your new life in Christ and what God was doing in their community, he says, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I can't stop. I can't help myself. Just think about this. As we read this, this is Paul's prayer for the church, okay? This is how, and this is a whole nother sermon series, but like Paul's prayers for the churches in his letters where he prays specifically for the churches. Like, just let this sink in. This is how Paul prays for the church. He doesn't pray for their exponential growth. He doesn't pray for them to conquer the culture. He doesn't pray for them to have victory over Rome or to like start a new campus or anything like none of those things are anywhere even remotely included in anything Paul says. So back to reading. What does he pray for the church? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, King Jesus, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience, faithful acceptance of just all of the things, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, grace, living a graceful life in graceful, grateful response to his grace, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light, your future hope. He's rescued us from the domain, from a spiritual domain of darkness, the kingdom of the enemy. You've been rescued from that domain and transferred into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him, in Christ, through our union with him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Reorientation of all of my life around who he is. First place in everything. First place in our heart, the order of our affections. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, wholeness, restoration through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions. Your position of rebellion led to old practices of rebellion. But now, he's reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel, all of it, all of this, Paul says, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And I, Paul, he says, have become a servant of it. Oh yeah, I cut off that last part, sorry. That's it. So we're gonna keep walking through it, keep leaning into it, keep stepping through it. What does it mean to be a Christian? If you forget, you could just go back and read Colossians 1, and then you could skip to Colossians 3, and then I guess you could read Colossians 2 along the way. Just read Paul's word to the Colossians, to the Ephesians, or just read the New Testament. We're just summarizing what the New Testament says here, guys. That's what we're doing. Preaching the word, okay? Let's pray. Go on to a new week. Father, we come to you and we are grateful. We are grateful for your great love for us, your grace that you have done for us and to us what we could never have done or accomplished on our own. And you just keep on doing it. And so I pray that our hearts would just be softened by your goodness, by your kindness to us. Help us to just keep learning and relearning and growing in our knowledge of you, not just our information about you, but our experience of growing in intimacy and communion with you, being with you. Not just to get something from the experience, but to get you, to just be with you, more aware of your presence, more attentive to your voice. May we grow in our affection and union with one another. May we grow in our understanding and practice of our identity in our world, in our community, in our city, as agents and ambassadors of your grace, of your reconciliation, proclaimers and people who embody your gospel, your kingdom, the new life that is available in you, a life lived in the satisfaction and security of your love. Lead us in that this week, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.